just because it was around the table, and I didn't because it just seemed like it was the right thing to do.
Oh, that lesson, yeah.
Yeah. And then I was working on this and finishing it up, and I said, God didn't want me to share this last week. He wanted this to be part of this week. I just didn't know that it had to be part of this week. So I'm going to, because I'm going to be talking about dedication. And we'll see if I can do something with it that'll make you think.
Okay.
But last week, I was reading Streams and Deserts. And there was, and this is Mrs. Charles E. Kalman, 1925.
Okay.
Do you know her?
It's not familiar.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She.
It's not
familiar. I'm looking for an edited version for her that's not so old in its style. I love old styles. And I mean, she even writes sometimes.
King James-y, you mean?
She's King James-y sometimes.
Yeah.
And the vocabulary is older, and I like it. She talks to me a lot, and I've
streams in the desert.
I've highlighted some stuff in here. I probably should have highlighted more, but I couldn't remember where it was because I was using her book, and I didn't want to write in that book because it was from her mother.
You have your
and it was really old.
Oh, you have two copies of this one.
So now I have this one. Mm-hmm. Hers is paperback. And it's for mothers.
That's sweet.
And it was, the pages are starting to come out. I said, oh, and I couldn't highlight it because it's not mine.
Oh, it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I gave it to her. I bought this one. But it's the same book. It's just a hardbound and it's nice and new. But it's still the 1925 version. But I like what she says. But last Sunday, she was talking about faith, and she told a story about her little son. And so the story was perfect, and then there was this other thing that happened that was another verse that came out of Numbers, and I'm reading Numbers, and it kind of fits into it.
You're reading Numbers.
I am, yeah.
I haven't read that in a long time.
I read the Bible every year, yeah.
Every year.
I do, and
good for you.
I read it chronologically. Because I have an app that I like the chronological version it uses. I use the regular, and I read it in different versions. So sometimes I'm in New King James, sometimes I'm King James, sometimes it's English Standard, sometimes whatever I to kind of get different points of view. But this story just kind of, let's see. It's a little bit long, but it's worth it. Okay? So, it says, when my little son was about 10 years of age, his grandmother promised him a stamp album for Christmas. Christmas came, but no stamp album. And no word from grandmother. The matter, however, was not mentioned. But when his playmates came to see his Christmas presents, I was astonished after he had named over this and that, as the gifts he received, to hear him say, and a stamp album from my grandmother.
Sweet.
Says, I had heard it several times when I called him to me and said, but Georgie, you did not get an album from your grandmother. Why did you say so? There was a wondering look on his face, as if he thought it's strange that I should ask such a question. And he replied, well, Mama, Grandma said, so it is the same as, I could not say a word to check his faith.
Right.
If she said it, it's so.
Right.
A month went by and nothing was heard from the album. Finally, one day I said to Tessa's faith, and really wondering in my heart why the album had not been sent. Well, Georgie, I think Grandma has forgotten her promise. She says, oh no, Mama, he quickly said. She hasn't. Mm-hmm. And I watched the dear trusting face, which for a while looked very sober, as if debating the possibilities. Finally, a bright light passed over it, and he said, Mama, do you think it would do any good if I should write to her thanking her for the album? I do not know, I said, but you might try it. A rich truth began to dawn upon me. In a few minutes, a letter was prepared and committed to the mail. And he went off whistling with his confidence in his grandma. In just a short time, a letter came back saying, "My dear Georgie, I have not forgotten my promise to you of an album. I tried to get such a book as you desired, but could not get the sort that you wanted. So I sent to New York. It did not get here till after Christmas, and it was still not right. So I sent for another. And as it has not yet come, I send you these $3 to get one in Chicago. Your loving grandma." As he read the letter, his face was the face of a victor. "Now, Mama, didn't I tell you?" Came from the depths of his heart, that never doubted that that hope against hope, he believed that the stamp album would come. While he was trusting Grandma, was working, and in due season, faith became sight.
Wow.
It is so human to want sight when we step out on the promises of God. But our Savior said to Thomas and to the long roll of doubters who have never since followed him, "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed."
Mm. Wow.
I thought that was terrific.
That is terrific.
The little boy was thanking before he got it. I gave her a thank you letter because I know it's coming. He knew.
That's beautiful, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And since I'm reading Numbers, there was an interesting, and a part of what I'm doing today is from Numbers itself too. I'm starting with Numbers 7, sort of. I'm kind of taking a different look at it. But in Numbers, you have the story of the rebellion that caused the earth to open and drop Korah, you know, devour Korah and all the thing. And that was after the dedication that I'm going to read about in number 7. That happened afterwards. They had just finished dedicating stuff. And it was supposed to be this new launching pad. They dedicated the altar and blah, blah, blah. And then Korah says, "Who made you a leader? Why can't we?" And they had a little debate and they went through some stuff and God said, "Open up, swallow, it's done, learn your lesson, don't argue with me." So, but you know that the lesson wasn't learned, because there's this verse that I had never paid attention to. It's like, in the story, I kind of get excited about the story, but they had to take all the censers and hammer them out as a memorial so that the children of Israel would not forget this. This was a big, significant thing. But right after they had done that, they had hammered out and made the censer, made it into a big plate and all that stuff.
Where are you at reading?
I'm in Numbers 16:41.
Got it.
Okay? And so it says here, "On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained again to Moses. 'You have killed the people of the Lord.' They not only forgot everything, they invented something that didn't happen. Moses didn't kill them. They challenged the authority of the Lord, and the Lord said, and they didn't even bury him. They all went down into the pit. How quickly they had forgotten everything and invented new information. They invented.
Misinformation.
And God quotes several times to Moses that there was different people.
Right.
That didn't stop God from loving them. They're stiff-necked people. So, with that, we start the good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it went away.
Are we connected?
Did I lose my...
I don't think it's connected.
It says we're not connected. So, I'm going to exit that and see if I can try again. Yes, I have to try again. Okay. I didn't pay attention to that. Okay.
There we go.
Okay. All right. Now.
Ta-da!
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have to get this technology working.
Right.
I was working. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we are going to look at dedication. And I didn't find anything clever or think of anything. God didn't give me anything too clever. So, dedication. And then this thought came to me. God is. Because that's how Moses met him, the great I am.
Mm-hmm.
God is. I am. Mm-hmm. If you're going to talk to the people, tell them, I am.
Right.
I am. When Jesus was really irritating to the Pharisees, he had 8 I ams in the Gospel of John. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I mean, he became the man that became everything because I am.
Right.
So who are we dedicated to? Why are we dedicated? Why was Israel dedicated? Well, we're going to take a peek, and I think, hold on. Yeah, dedication. It is two-sided. There is the dedication that we're going to first see is the dedication of the altar. So it's prepared for service. But also, when it or us are dedicated, we are set aside for special things. We don't follow the normal routine. Dedication always requires a setting aside in the same concept of holiness. We are set aside for a specific purpose. So, with that, one of my favorite football players is going to do a motivational speech that's going to fit. I was looking for something, and then I found it. And what a lot of the motivational speeches in the area that I was looking at were good, except they had a few questionable words in it.
Sure.
This guy somehow managed to say what he said. And I know he has a colorful language, but he didn't use any colorful language. I said, this is the one, and he actually even picked. Well, you'll see. You will see.
A lion.
That's a lion.
Let's hope it works. Okay, it's good. Oh, give me a break. It's got to.
That is a gnarly looking lion you found.
Wow. Here we go.
Here we go.
If the lion is the king of the jungle, how can he be the king of the jungle?
It's Ray Lewis.
If he's not the biggest, the elephant is probably one of the biggest. He can't be the fastest because that's a cheat. He can't be the smartest. So he's not the biggest, the fastest, or the smartest. So how does a lion become the king of the jungle? His mentality. That's the only difference of a lion and an elephant. When a lion walks up and sees an elephant, he thinks lunch. An elephant thinks run. And it's all mentality. Because when a male lion walks up, he may be outnumbered by a pack of hyenas, but I'm king of my jungle because of my mentality. What happens when you're a gazelle and you're not being pushed, you're not being prodded, you're not given a reward, nobody's encouraging you? What happens when you're a gazelle and the lion's not chasing anymore? You stop running. But what happens when you're a lion? When you are a lion, it does not make a difference. You realize that if your family is going to eat, that if that pack of lions is to survive, then you gotta go hunt. A part of being a beast just ain't eating a gazelle. A part of being a beast is the hunt. It's the hunt that they're excited about. They like to see the gazelles run. Then boom, they take off. Because real lions like to hunt. They love the process just as much as they love the prize. And some of y'all just want to score. You don't like the process. You're not in love with the process. A true hunter's goal is not the pride. A true hunter's goal is to hunt. That's what they live for. They live to hunt. They don't just live to catch it. It's the whole process. When you are a true hunter, you don't go by time, you go by the gazelle. When you are a true hunter, you hunt until you get a gazelle, and you don't stop until you get one. And then you get another, and then you get another, and you get another. If you're gonna do what you say you're gonna do, be what you say you're gonna be, you're gonna have to lion me out. You a gazelle, you're gonna come up short. You a gazelle, you're gonna have an average experience. You a student, I need you in lion mode. You an entrepreneur, I need you in lion mode. You try to lose weight, lion mode. You can't do nothing significant in gazelle mode, nothing. Nothing impressive happens in gazelle mode. Nothing happened in run mode, give up mode, quit mode, scared mode, fearful mode, nothing happened. Everything happened in lion mode, like I'm coming to get you.
That was good. That was really good. Jason, does the link for that one? Was that a movie or a video? That was a video. It's a short video.
Yeah.
But
a
lion.
I saw that lion and I heard Ray Lewis talk and I thought, this is the one, because he goes to the end, which is what a lot of people, you know, I was raised in it. I spent some time in a Baptist church and it's always the end.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't think about the process.
Right.
That's a
and
good.
He talks about both things.
Right there.
Wow.
He talks about both things. That the process is really important. We have a process. It's not fun to go exercise. Nathan used to get mad at me because he'd go to work out and I'd be working out harder. And I was having more fun than he was.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Why do you do that?" I said, "Because it's fun and I feel good after it."
What?
Mommy David cleaning his room. He would have stuff all over his room and he'd go and clean it and don't come out until you cleaned it. And so he'd walk out just a short time and it's all clean because it's all under his bed.
Or in his, see, whenever I gave them a chore, I showed them how to do it. I said, "Stand at the door, watch me." And I did everything. I said, "What I did, I want you to do, because you won't get out of here until you do it."
Mm-hmm.
So one time he stuffed all his stuff under a mattress. And the mattress got and he under the bed, or hid it in his closet and he slid the door down.
I'm going to be your technical person for a moment.
What?
Oh.
He actually is making a thumping sound.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
Okay. Then, so, and I'd say, "Oh, you wanted to go here, but you haven't cleaned your room. But it's clean." No, it's not clean.
No.
It's just hidden.
It's hidden.
Clean it. I want it put away where it belongs. So, but that's, and Nathan did the same kind of stuff.
Yep.
And that's why he gave me the cup that says I'm a robot, because I enjoy doing it a certain way. I have fun. He says, "You have fun in the gym. I don't. You have fun when you run. I don't." It's a mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think through to what we're going to do. So in Revelation 5:5, the only place that I think is in Scripture says that the Lord, and one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll." But this is the only place where it's called the Lion of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like the Lion. The Lion of Judah. But he's also known as the Lamb of God.
Right.
Mm.
There's a complete package there. The hunted, the hunter, together. He's hunting for you.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to catch, but there's a process. Even
right.
He went through a process. You have to be born. You have to grow up. It said that he grew wisdom.
Right.
There was something that he had to experience and go through things, because then he could teach us better. Because we couldn't argue with him because he'd gone through the same things.
Right.
He, you know, he had to work. So anyway, so I thought, the Lion of Judah, that is good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the Lamb of God is also part of it. So I've got that picture too.
Mm, cool.
That's why I have the lion as my desktop too. It's like, that started as a lion lesson years ago, and I liked it so much I kept it. I really like the lion. So, but there's a process. So we're going to look at the process, or at least one of them. We're at an Old Testament process. Then we're going to go to a New Testament process. So, Numbers 7, I found verses that kind of summarize things, because if I explained it, like God explains it, I would be saying the same thing over and over and over and over again, 12 times. So that's part of the process. It can be repetitious. But at the end, this is what you're supposed to have. There should be something at the end that proves that you've done this. So, and the Lord said to Moses, they shall offer their offerings, one chief each day for the dedication of the altar. They are dedicating this thing. Because they all offer the same thing. Don't we like to show off? Mm. Look what I gave. That's what the Pharisees did.
Right.
They gave everything, what they thought they did. But actually, they were giving out of their surpluses. 10% of the mint, 10% of the cumin, 10%. But what? That's just your surplus. Where's your real tithe? Where's the real giving? And they were showing off. They had the robes, and they were praying in public. And they did all sorts of things because they wanted the recognition. You couldn't get any recognition because whether you're first or last, everybody does the exact same thing. You have a plate that's a silver plate. You have a bowl that's a silver bowl. You have a goblet, and then you have the one bowl and for these things, and you have the lamb, and you have the goat, then you have the seven. But everybody does the same thing. We all have to do the same work. Mm. How it looks may be a little different, but bottom line is that if you look at the core of what we do, we're all having to do the same thing. We all have to do the same thing. And that, I think, in some way, drove these people crazy. Because human nature, you want to excel. You want to be better than your neighbor, even if you don't admit it.
They're keeping up with the Joneses.
And they couldn't be better than their neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Lord, when he did this, he didn't even use birth order, which is normal for the Jewish nation.
Right.
Who was the first one born? Reuben. Who was the last one born? Benjamin. But God did not use birth order, which is interesting. He takes everything out of life. Joseph got mad because the younger one was blessed over the older one. Jacob stole his blessing. He was technically the younger twin. But even that little bit of time was important. It's very important. So I'm going to get to some other significant, interesting things. This is where it talks about what did they give? Everybody gave a silver plate, 137. Everybody gave, a basin. And this is what they gave. His offering was one silver plate whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver basin of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil, all for a grain offering. One gold dish of 10 shekels, full of incense, one bull of the herd, one ram, one male lamb. It's the whole thing is there. So by the end, and I don't think I put this. It comes out that at the end you have 12 silver plates, you have 12 bowls, 12 golden, you have 12 bowls that are for one thing, but then you have, 24 other bowls for another thing. And you have 12 rams for one kind of offering, but then you have 60 rams for another kind of offering. And so it wasn't just that you had to have the rams, but you had to have the rams or the bulls or the goats offered the right way, because all these things have extras that go with them, like the grain offering, and then there's the drink offering, and then there's the oil part, and how do you mix it, how much? And if it's of the first part, so everything had to be done the right way. So all that said in the scripture is, this is what you give, and you do it the way I said to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even repeat that part. You need to know. We need to know. We need to know. Is it time for a goat? Is it a peace offering? Is it a sin offering? Is it a sacrifice? Is it, what is it? And then you have to prepare it the right way. When you're
excuse me, when you're dedicating, you're preparing for service. Nobody had ever used this altar before. Moses, he just finished dedicating the tabernacle and all the stuff. But the altar was last. God was waiting. We had to be ready to sacrifice. We had to be dedicated the right way, which meant that we couldn't be special in our eyes. We had to be special in his eyes. So to do the right thing made us special in his eyes, but it made us kind of like everybody else. Because it didn't matter. So you have all these things that are being done. And it's taking time because it takes 12 days for this, just for the dedication. So it's not something you can go, okay, let's get it done and get on to business, which is what we tend to do. In the church, in the synagogue.
We're Americans. That's what we do.
Well, that's also a part of the problem. We sometimes get confused between what we believe and what our culture is saying. And we have to go back and say, well, we used to have a culture influenced by the church. But now we have a church that's influenced by the culture. We got it backwards. If we are dedicated, we're supposed to let this dedicated stuff influence everything. But Israel had problems just like we have problems. The day after a major event, they were complaining about the death and blaming it on Moses when it wasn't his issue. He was just there passing information back and forth. And Korah and the followers decided to be different. And it cost them. There were 250 people involved in that. Plus, there was the suffering that went on after that. Every time they disobeyed, something happened. There were serpents that bit them. And there was plagues that struck them until somebody went out and killed the right people. And 14,000 people died because of something. But disobedience causes problems that affects everybody. It doesn't just affect the people that do the sin. Even those who weren't necessarily part of the sin suffer because that consequence is bigger than just those people. Dedication requires a lot of effort because what you're doing affects people. It affects a lot of people. And then I learned something really interesting. The order of the offering is the order of the marching. It's also the order that they get their inheritance in the promised land. It has nothing to do with their age. I found that the first thing I learned that was amazing. God says, you're going to do this my way. There's no other way than his way. Jesus said, I am the way. So that's part of the way too. When we get to the New Testament, there is a way. There is only one way. God's way. So we're going to, and then I learned something else that almost made me cry. Actually, it didn't make me cry because I'd never seen it before. But there's 12, it says, the significance in the order. It was very special because I realized I wrote all the names down and it read like a story. A story. You have first, it's Judah, whose meaning is praise. Well, I thought, that's a roar. That's your lion. You start off scaring everything. The king is here. The king is here. Second is Issachar. His reward will come. When the praise comes, the reward comes. Zebulun. The one who dwells. Where do we dwell? Praise, the reward, the dwelling. It comes all together. Reuben, number one became number four. In fact, the first three are on the east side. And then you get to the south side. Reuben's the first of the southerners. It's interesting. Okay, so that becomes behold a son. S-O-N. So we have the roaring of the king, praising. We have the rewarding. We have the dwelling. We have the son, who, number five, is to be heard. Simeon. And Gad kind of means luck and good fortune. I thought, no, that's grace and promise.
Oh, very good.
Grace and promise. They didn't understand grace and promise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
We understand grace and promise. So that's part of the story. That's part of the story. Ephraim. You don't have Levi in here because they don't get an inheritance. They don't march like everybody else.
The Lord is their inheritance. Mm-hmm.
The Lord is their inheritance. So Ephraim comes from Joseph. So Ephraim is the Levi. But Ephraim is fruitful and fertile. So you have, after you have the grace and promise, you have fruitfulness and all the good stuff. Then you have Manasseh. That's Joseph. That's his two kids. God has made me forget. As far as the east is from the west, God doesn't remember what we've done. As far as the east is from Manasseh, what did Joseph have to forget? All the things that happened to him. He recognized God did this for a purpose. So I can forget all the other stuff. God's purpose is what was really happening. What was happening to me, I could have taken it personally, but I have to forget. I have to forget.
That's so good.
And Benjamin, the last one, is not last. It says, 9 says, the son of the right hand. In scripture, the right hand is always the hand of power and authority. So within this story, we have power and authority. They had power and authority, but I don't think they knew anything about this stuff. But God is drawing a picture for his people. And as information comes, people know more. It's like the verse that says, you know, we get to see because of the past. We have a cloud of witnesses that tell us a story if we're willing to read. 10, Dan. He has judged. Because if we're in the Lord, we're already judged. It's done. Jesus already suffered, paid the price. It's already judged. Those who aren't in Jesus, they've got a problem. Because in a sense, they're judged too. Because if you're not here, you're already judged. If you're in there, you're still already judged. Already judged. Ah. And Asher is blessed. Even though you have, you know, grace and promise, and you have fruitful and fertile, there's still blessing on top of that. There's blessing on top of that. Why are we such miserable people? Why are Christians so unhappy? Because they don't know the story. Mm-hmm. They know the, it's kind of a, they know scripture, but they don't know the story.
Right.
It's like, you get into an argument sometimes with people and say, don't confuse me with the facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't tell me the story.
Right.
But we have a story. And we have a blessing. Naphtali. But the story still requires struggle and wrestling. We have to be like Jacob, kind of on a regular basis. Our life is one of being like Jesus when he was living.
Is that what Naphtali means?
That's what Naphtali struggle means, struggle and wrestling.
When you said that, what I heard was your motivational speech, the process.
The process.
Right?
The process, yeah.
You're not a lion if you're not running after the thing.
Yeah, it takes, and that's why within the video you have people lifting weights, you have people running, you have people going upstairs, downstairs. They're doing things because using a process to accomplish their goals.
Right. Ooh, that's so good. So it's not a negative.
It is not a negative, but how many people think of struggle as a negative?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wrestling right. is a negative.
Right.
I still went there. Yep.
You know, I played football. My mom could never understand why I liked football. Because I kept, and I thought, this is fun.
Your wife used to wonder too.
Huh?
Yeah, you just gave up.
But there, it was, and I wrestled too. I liked wrestling. I would have been, I don't know if I would, I would have been a good Jacob, but I like wrestling.
That's very good.
But, you know, there were things I did to get me ready for the things I wanted to do.
Sure.
You know, I hated track in a
right,
sense because I don't
right.
like running, but I participated in track because it got me, it kept me in shape for all the other things that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I learned things about conditioning that applied to everything else.
Yes.
When I coached, I said, you know what? You'll find that coaching does a lot of interesting things. When I coached football, I said, here's your starting stance. I said, okay. If you were, and when I coached baseball, they had the same starting stance. And when I coached volleyball, they had the same starting stance.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things that are common to all athletics. You know, there's some that are different, but in my sports, there was something about how you stand is important to how you finish.
Sure.
How we stand is important to how we finish.
Oh, very good.
That's good. That's good.
How we stand is important to how we finish.
Wow, wow.
Because if you don't stand, you don't finish. You got to stand to finish. So, oh yeah. It's in the New Testament now. There is a process. It's a little different. And it doesn't come out in order all the time. You got to find out where it is. And I just picked out some places where I found I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's the whole thing wrapped up, but you've
right.
got to start off standing. You've got to learn, you got to have the ability to stand. You have to repent and be baptized because that gives you your starting point. That's your stand.
Right.
And you get the Holy Spirit, that's your power. That's the process. Now, for some people, that process is going to look different because even in the New Testament, you can read that not everybody had an Acts chapter 2, verse 1 experience where they're sitting in a big banquet and the Holy Spirit comes, and flames of fire and tongues, and thousands of people are there listening and saying, you're crazy or you're drunk. Other places, they said, well, have you heard it? Have you been baptized? We haven't even heard that there is a spirit. Okay, there's a separation.
Right.
So it's not exactly the same for everybody, even at the beginning.
Even Paul, who may have been in Acts chapter 2.
Well, yeah.
Was
well, he was knocked off of a donkey and blinded.
Yeah, no
kidding. He had to go to a town and wait
talk
for somebody to come and get him.
Yeah.
Talk about
talk
a process.
About the process.
You know, but his wrestling, he was killed. He was dropped out of it. He was thrown overboard. He was in the sea. You listen to his list of wrestling matches. That was his problem. Have you wrestled like that?
Right.
Not really, but
right.
We have our own going overboard and going out of the windows in the walls and got... We have our own processes. Everybody has a process. Everybody has a process. Come on. Ah. See, here's the baptism in the Spirit. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, it's kind of significant, you know, 50 days after the resurrection, you have this thing. And they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It wasn't a mighty rushing wind. It was like the sound. It wasn't the wind. It was like the sound of a rushing wind.
Right.
So you hear this noise, and there's nothing happening. Except for maybe you get a little nervous about this roaring sound that you hear. and suddenly it came from heaven, mighty rushing, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. The noise filled the house. There was no wind. But this noise was amazing. No stereo system, no artificial enhancements. This was God giving you a good show. You like loud music? Here you go. Your first concert with God. And the house was filled, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they all got zapped. But even they didn't have fire on top of their heads. They had tongues kind of like fire. It looked like fire. It was a hologram.
Yeah.
Or something, you know. But the word like is says this is not what you're seeing. This is what it looks like. This is not what you're hearing and feeling. This is what it sounded like. Like this is, but for the people there, I don't know exactly how they felt. But they waited. They sat through this whole thing and let it happen. I'm not sure that people today can just let it happen. We aren't ready to just let it happen. But isn't that part of what the process is? That there's a time that we have to be still and know.
Right.
We have to wait and let it happen and trust the process. God told them, that there's a process coming. You have to wait for me. It's coming. They didn't even know what it was, but they waited. It's kind of like Abraham taking off for the promised land. He didn't know where he was going or what it was.
Right.
He didn't have a roadmap, he didn't have GPS, and he got there. Yeah, and the promised land is a little chunk, but actually what God promised them is much bigger. If you read the complete description of what they have, it goes from the river Euphrates, which actually bends in Iraq, and it goes all the way up into Turkey. So you have all of this, then you have down underneath, because it has to cross back over to the, some say it's the river of Egypt or the brook of Egypt. Some people even think it might even be all the way to the Nile, but somewhere it's on the Sinai at least. And then the Mediterranean is the other boundary. But you got this big chunk of the Middle East that's really Israel. But the promised land was this part. That's where they had the inheritance. But they would have ownership of all this stuff. What do we have ownership of? We have ownership of a lot more than what we think. What we know is not what we get. We get more than what we know. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Romans 10, this also is one that just, but if we confess with you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is. So can you have a testimony in a court without opening your mouth?
In a modern court, probably.
That's true. Sometimes the judge tells you what you say doesn't matter anyway. I already decided.
Yeah.
Which doesn't get them in trouble anymore. But if you are called to be in court, then you have to talk. The only people that don't have to talk are those who are dead. Those who are not there. Those who have permission to have written statements. But you have to present something that is proof of whatever you're there for. You have to witness it. And your words will explain why you're justified. There has to be speech. Part of our process is learning how to talk.
Right, right.
That's true.
Well, I'm not a good talker. Doesn't matter. God said, confess before people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a choice. Is that just?
No, keep going. That might be.
It was Luke.
It might just be Luke having fun. Okay, so we have to speak. And there's, I think, one more. I think. Oh yeah. I think that, yeah. One more. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not just hearers, or hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we don't do what we talk about, basically we're liars. Your life has to have stuff happening.
Right.
Part of what God called me to do is this.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm doing.
Right.
Somewhere in the word it says that I have a stricter judgment because I teach.
That's right.
It costs me more, but do I have fun doing it? This is an enjoyable experience. I used to enjoy teaching teenagers. They were fun. Middle schoolers were fun. She didn't like middle schoolers.
No.
In fact, nobody likes middle schoolers.
Right.
And I used to think they're terrific critters.
Terrific and
I call them critters to their face. I said, you guys are my critters. And they recognize that that's my term of endearment. They're critters. And if you're in high school, you're a kindergartner. Until you grow up, you're a kindergartner. And some people, it takes a lot more years than others.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay.
This is very good.
Yes.
And that means so be it.
It does indeed.
So there you go.
It does indeed.
This was fun. I learned many, many moons worth of
this
stuff.
This is a great word.
You set the stage beautifully for me.
Oh, no kidding.
Have I done a good job?
We're going to talk more about the process.
Oh,
okay.
So
oh, I'm excited.
In answer to your question.
Okay.
Okay.
Super good. And that list of the tribes
that's
in
cool,
that
huh?
order, that was super cool.
I like that.
I haven't ever read or seen anybody that recognized that their names kind of tell you a story.
I've never, ever thought that. Yeah.
That's between God and me as far as I know. It's like, it just read a story to me. That is amazing.
That's awesome. Thank you.
But everything means something. I learned a little bit about meanings from the rabbi, the Christian rabbi. I can't think of his name now. Oh, he's really a cool guy. He did a Bible study on. We watched a video, and it was Jesus in Genesis. And he explained how the Jewish people look at the words and all the meanings. He says they aren't making these meanings up because all the letters in the alphabet are numbered. And so you get numbers. And when you have words, you can associate just by the numbers. That the numerics is not stupid, it's actually built into the language. Mm. And so he explained why these things were very amazing to him when he started studying stuff. Because he'd see this word here, and then he'd find this word there. Wait. And then he'd start connecting things. And it helped him connect dots so he became Christian. But he is a Christian rabbi. And he's one of the contributors, consultants for The Chosen.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah, so you may have seen him sometimes on one of their special streams where they talk about stuff.
Yeah.
But he's one of the consultants. They have a couple of evangelical and a couple of priests that also help them with stuff. So.
That's so good.
Can you look up his name for me? I would like to look him up. Doesn't have to be right now, just someday. There's no hurry.
Yeah, I could probably by this afternoon. I had somebody else that asked me the same question. Says, remember that Jewish Christian guy that we did a study on? I said yes, and I can find it really easy because the study we picked on, I was using a website, Bible Gateway.
Oh yeah, I've used that.
And he's on there, and he's got a new study out. But he's got about four or five books that he's written. But.
You want to say a prayer real quick?
Yes, I think I should say a prayer real quick.
Yes.
Lord, your process is amazing.
Right.
Yes.
It is hard, but it is worth it. Help us to have the courage and fortitude to continue with the process you've given us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.